Italians tend to take a somewhat different attitude toward food. It's autumn, and in Italy, the harvest is being celebrated in vineyards and orchards, and also in the city of Turin. An estimated 150,000 people recently attended the four-day foodie extravaganza. The biennial Taste Fair was sponsored by Slow Food, the international activist movement dedicated to protecting traditional foods, the environment, and biodiversity. NPR's Silvia Poggioli has this report.
The exhibition space for the Taste Fair was a cavernous former Fiat auto factory. The stands were set up along streets named for the products displayed: cheeses, breads and cereals, cured meats, and chocolates. Visitors, many of them wearing a pouch around their necks to hold a wine glass, munched not just Parma ham, but also delicacies such as Swedish reindeer meat, or sipped beer from U.S. microbreweries. But Slow Food founding father Carlo Petrini insists the Taste Fair is not a chichi salon for gourmets.
La gastronomia non è una questione elitaria.
Gastronomy is not elitist. Gastronomy includes a Brazilian fezuada or a falafel on the streets of Cairo. Gastronomy is not just five-star Michelin restaurants and snobbery. Gastronomy is the daily life of all of us.
The slow food movement has its roots in the Italian left. It grew out of a protest against the opening of the first McDonald's in Rome in the mid-1980s, and now boasts 80,000 members in 100 countries. Its nemesis remains junk food. One of the movement's main aims is to salvage heirloom foods. These are placed in a figurative arc of taste, a watch list of these endangered foods deemed culturally significant. One of the thousands of products saved from oblivion is the Cornish salt pilchard, a large sardine-like fish that has been shipped to Italy at least since the year 1555. Cheap and with a long shelf life, for centuries it was a staple for Catholics during Lent. Nick Howell, who runs the only remaining pilchard salt plant in Cornwall, says it's still customary for his last four Protestant fishermen to drink a toast to the Pope every year.
Here's a health to the Pope, and may he repent and lengthen by 6 months the term of his Lent. It's always declared betwixt the two poles, there's nothing like pilchards for saving us souls. a bit of fun, isn't it?
La centinaia, i nostri nonni le tenevano attaccate al centro del tavolo sulla lampadina, e poi con le fette del pane le bagnavano, sporcavano il pane.
As Nick Howell was speaking, three Italian men stopped at the stand. The sight of the salted pilchards triggered childhood memories. Gianmarco Gennaro said that during the war, his grandfather used to hang the salted fish over the kitchen table. It was a treasured foodstuff in time of poverty. Howell said that since his pilchards entered the Arc of Taste 2 years ago, they've gained visibility and made it possible for him to continue their production. But he says this is just the first step.
The challenge to us all for the future is to get our children to be arguing about tastes from different parts of the world.
Slow Food organized special taste workshops at the fair for children from local schools. A teacher described the nature of rice kernels to a group of third graders. The idea is to instill culinary knowledge and appreciation and to combat the lure of greasy fast food. Trying to get kids to be curious and adventurous about what they eat is a quest not limited to Italy. American master chef Alice Waters is working closely with her local school board in Berkeley, California, to treat school lunch as an academic subject. Speaking at a seminar at the Slow Food Taste Fair, she said she wants to teach children about the role food plays in their environment and cultural identity.
This is what we need to see whether we can breathe this eco-gastronomic life back into our culture.
At the same seminar, Danish chef Klaus Meyer told the audience that he faces a double challenge, not only countering the effects of the fast food invasion, but also resisting what he called a 300-year-old crusade in Scandinavia by puritanical preachers and health experts sermonizing against the pleasure-giving qualities of food.
The idea of enjoying great food and wine has been compared to crimes such as exaggerated dancing, masturbation, and incest. If you enjoyed your meals and tried to make them as pleasurable as possible, you could be sure not to be forgiven by God and to die early from health problems arising from your extravagant lifestyle.
Meyer said he has scoured Scandinavian waters and local forests for rare shellfish, game, and berries, with which he has created what he calls a cool, pure, fairy tale Nordic cuisine. Many foreign visitors were struck by the peasant roots of some of the trendiest Italian culinary gems, figs and melon with prosciutto, or pears accompanied by sheep's cheese. Many also commented on how closely Italians relate to the products of their land. ''26-year-old Guglielmo Buffetto sat at the wine bar with friends, sipping Barolo, one of the grand Piedmontese wines.
''Io sono piemontese da molte generazioni e sento proprio la mia terra quando vado in campagna, non quando sono a Torino.''
''This is the flavor of my home and family, the aromas and colors of the autumn countryside blend into this wine. By observing the vineyard through this season, you can understand where and why this wine is the way it is.''
Corby Kummer, food writer for the Atlantic Monthly, says this link to the fruits of the land is being lost in the fast food nation. But he believes the slow food movement can improve life for Americans.
But it's not like Italy. You don't have the same culture in America of sitting around the table, of knowing what things should taste like. So you have to count on people to want to know, to want to learn.
It's that desire to learn that has led to the opening this fall of the first University of Gastronomic Sciences. 20 miles from Turin, in the town of Polenzo, nestled in the fertile Piedmontese plain, slow food has converted an 18th-century neo-Gothic manor house into a multidisciplinary food academy teaching a 3-year degree course. The first class of 72 students from all over the world is studying the history and iconology of food, the sociology of consumption, along with chemistry and microbiology. They will go on numerous field trips for sensory appreciation. Student Allison Radetzky is from Montclair, New Jersey. Her passion for food is closely linked with her childhood memories of her Polish grandmother's cooking.
What I would really like to know is academically to study everything about food so I can know more about the politics, the economics, and the stories. That's what really interests me. Why are people eating what they're eating? What people eat, it tells you their story about where they're coming from, where they've been, what interests them, and that's what I would like to do.
Radetzky believes food is the basic language between peoples and a tool to break down cultural barriers. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News.